Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your shed blood of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation, God. We thank you for the renewing of our spirits, oh God, the changing of our minds, oh God. We don't think, God, the way we used to think. We don't act the way we used to act. Continue to watch over us and bless us.
Yes.
Make us better men, better husbands, better fathers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Welcome. Mr. Boyer,
all right, sir.
Glad you could make
Thank
it.
You.
And the Bishop,
God bless
Larry
you,
Lee
sir.
Thomas.
Thank
Welcome
you.
Back. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start this segment off. We was talking about fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's a lot of things with fatherhood. There's responsibilities. We know here in the culture we're dealing with a lot of fatherlessness.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, children are not. They don't have the influence of a male in their life.
Amen.
They don't have that male role model in their life.
Amen.
And then we have fathers who are there and they're struggling.
Yes.
They're not knowing what, you know, how to handle it, what to do at some time, because the issues are coming, especially as their children get older.
Mm-hmm.
There's new things coming. We're trying to live godly lives, raise godly families.
Amen.
And we as men and fathers in the home, mm-hmm. we're responsible for that leadership.
Yes, sir.
So we just wanted to take time and we wanted to take opportunity that we could share our stories that occurred to someone and then give encouragement or advice to fathers
mm-hmm.
on what they're doing.
Amen.
And we want to talk truly about the fathers who are fathering their children mm-hmm. and taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to, well, let's start with that right there.
Amen.
Bishop, give me, what does define father and fatherhood?
When we look at the word the father,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we understand that we look at a person who is a provider,
Amen.
A person who is a protector, a person who realizes that he has a seed that needs to be nurtured.
Amen.
And that seed in reference is to the children. The Bible speaks of the children are the heritage of the Lord. When a man fathers children, he don't realize how blessed he is. And as God, who is our Father, said we were created in his image mm-hmm. and in his likeness, we reproduce after our kind. So when men are having children, they must understand that purpose, that you are reproducing after your kind. Your seed is you. And if you love yourself, as the Bible speaks of a man loving a wife, he must first love himself. Mm-hmm. Then that same love transfers down to the children. And that's one of the things God is challenging us in this day to keep hold of those biblical principles. Because last year you talk about the absence of fathers. When you talk about us not being secure in our relationship, then we need to know that there are a model out there. And I like Proverbs that gives a lot of instructions from fathers taking care of their children.
Mr. Boyer, how would you define that fatherhood?
Well, in my travels in serving the Lord, most recent years, you look at a stunning statistic that over 25 million children will not spend their biological father nightly, will not be under the roof with them. And we see the things that are going on in the schools and the community and in our homes, and sad but true even in our churches, that we have really lost a sense of father, being a father, this the biblical and scriptural sense of it, as well as the fatherhood. We have a lot of males, as we can look at the last 40 years, the last two scores, we look at, we can see a lot of males that have been no more than sperm donors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, as you said, the responsibility.
Right.
Saved or lost, the responsibility mm-hmm. of caring for that life, the woman that they conceived the child with, as well as the innocent child that's born into this world. And as I go in out of prisons and streets and workplaces, and again look at my own testimony where the Lord's brought me from the last 27 years last month by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Being 20 years old and 21 years old, unmarried with two sons a year apart. Mm-hmm. And here as we come 34 and 35 years later, and we can look at the trials and the pitfalls, the snares that are there if we're not, because we haven't been taught and trained and disciplined, had that godly model of what a father in the confines of holy matrimony, or just a responsible man, if you had the child out of wedlock like myself, just to be that responsible man, that it's easy, as we see, to over the same time period, to hang out on the corner or even go to prison. It's less responsibility involved than to get up and go to work every day somewhere and keep the lights on and the roof over the head and food on the table, and to walk uprightly and mature and responsible, provider, as the bishop said, and a protector. Because as these children have been brought out here fatherless, sure, the father's physically alive, but they're really fatherless. Even people we've come across that are married for years, and the father's in the home and doing the right thing. He's not beating the wife. He's not using drugs. He's not gambling. He's bringing the money home. And he's in the home, if you will, with the proverbial recliner and the remote and the can of beer and the sports, but he is emotionally detached. He's not there. He's there physically. Right. The lights are on, but nobody's home. And again, you know, of course, we can't exhaust this topic in this short period of time, I guess, but I'm just trying to whet the listeners' appetites so that we don't try to paint the picture as we have done from the pulpit to from our homes to the pulpit and back, and the schools and the community in between, that we're not really putting our finger on the pulse of what has really happened here.
Well, listen, you're right. What you're saying is true. But that's exactly what we wanted to talk about, because, like you said, there's fathers who are in the home, they're in these relationships, but they're not spending time with their children. They're not doing the act, because in the early segment we talked about fathering being an action, being a verb. It's like love.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me you love me unless you're doing something that shows you love me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can't say you're fathering a child unless you're actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like you said, some men see it as, but see, that goes back to the way they was raised,
right,
how their father
was. The lack
because,
of example.
You know, now we have jobs that are a little more technical and not so labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, folk had to go out and they worked 10 hours and it was like they had to work.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Dig a ditch, and then they come home, then, you know, it wasn't like the picture we want to see. You come home, you get the kids, you go outside, run around, ride the bike, but you don't work to dig the ditch for 10 hours.
Right.
You ready to eat, and you ready to go lay down, or something like that.
Right.
But that somehow, because that transitioned over.
Right.
Because that's the way they were raised.
But that's a key point that you just made, because sometimes when people are saying that we are not there for the child, the father role was that of a provider. The father's role was that of making sure that there were things in place, the instruction, the discipline, you know, these things were given. And many times you and I may hear this terminology, when mom was with the kids, she was the nurturer. Mm-hmm. And when there was one of us who was acting out, she would make a comment, "When your daddy get home."
You're straight.
You know, right. So we had to take on that role of not being up close and personal, but yet personal enough to say that while I am out doing the things that is necessary for me to make sure that this family is going to be able to exist and survive, my expectation of you is X, Y, and Z. I would like you to be obedient to your mother. I would like you to do your chores. We gave instructions.
Yes.
Now, we wasn't always there to see all of those instructions carry out, but what we said If we came out through old school, what I say, I mean it.
Yes, sir.
You know, so Dad's word was awesome, just like God's word to us is awesome.
Yes.
He speaks, you know, and then he allow us to go through the course of our life to what we call experience something. Mm-hmm. But in our ears, it's the Father's voice. And that's what something you was talking about earlier. Many of the children don't have a father's voice in their ear.
They don't have a male. They don't have that male presence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To frame that.
Yes, sir.
That, you know, it's, I'm gonna say reverence. I'm not gonna say fear. I'm gonna say reverence.
Reverence is a good word.
It's like there's authority. There's an authority. There's a chain of authority.
Yes.
Through the family, just like in the kingdom of God, there's authority.
Yes, sir.
I know the military, they call it chain of command. I'm trying to look for another word. But there's authority thing.
Right.
There's levels of responsibilities within the home.
Right.
And it seemed like the fathers and they're even, for some reason, they're really not there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not doing it either.
Right.
Because they sometimes you have fathers who what's the word I'm looking for? They turn it over to the mother, a lot of it.
Right.
They turn it over to the mother to be the
disciplinarian, right?
And then to follow up behind the children,
right?
Instead of them taking their time because they're doing other things,
right? But the word that you was looking at and which we got to focus on is being responsible, because
mm-hmm.
when you talked about the definition of the father, he had to take on that responsibility. He had to understand that this is my seed.
Right.
This is someone whom I allowed to come in this world.
Mm-hmm.
The woman was only the carrier of the seed. Okay. She gave birth to your sons and gave birth to our sons and our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the children are here, now we take another role because we are now still the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
We still the provider. We go out. We make sure that things are taken care of. Then we bring things back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this was one of the things that I had this discussion even as yesterday, because again, like my brother said, our life has transitioned. We have been transformed. Children, like myself, having children out of wedlock,
mm-hmm.
but brings me now to a state of maturity. I learned from some things.
Yeah.
I learned from what I call a concept that the world gives you, then a concept that God gives me. And now for 30 years, I've been practicing God's concept,
yeah.
God's law, and I see that his ways are right. But when I understand the Father's love, one gentleman and I, we was talking with another pastor yesterday, and it was talking about how disconnect he feels from his children because of what has been told about him.
Hmm.
So now the children, now they are all adults that do not respect him because what was told about him, what he was not doing.
Yes, sir.
But his love for his children has always existed, even in the times of need. He made provision and made sure that each had what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was sharing, even as Father's Day and his birthday coming up,
mm-hmm.
he said his children have not reached out to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a struggle. And this, I believe, with all men, it's a struggle whether to keep loving or cut them off.
You're saying that, but now we talk about a man who's more mature, but now we talk about our young men. And
right.
When you're young, you know your pride is bigger than,
yes, sir.
Than your common sense.
Yes, sir.
The younger you are, the bigger your pride.
And we cut things off.
Yeah, that's exactly where it starts.
Yes, sir.
But then we have to go back too, because you know we're talking about the responsibility of out of marriage, out of committed relationships,
mm-hmm.
having these children.
Because
mm-hmm. because you know sometimes we have to deal with the root.
Yes, sir.
We have the fruit
right.
and the
we
root.
Deal with that root.
Yes, sir.
So brother, boy, tell me, how would you say something to a 20-year-old? You know, 19-year-old, how would you distill them the importance of being a father and then being the importance of waiting till you reach the level of maturity to be a father? When you're not going to go through the things that previous generations, mm-hmm. the previous folk went through.
Again, I was just shared with myself being 20 years old with a child being born with a teenage mother. And then before a year had gone and repeated again with another son and another mother. And then it wasn't a year before that that I'm in the Maryland Department of Correction, drugs and everything else to go along with that territory. And how he needed to get himself together first with the Lord and, you know, his heart and his soul and his education, because then we preach and teach salvation and education equals success. And the choices that he need to make now for himself, because so many are working and doing the right thing and in school, and then when a baby comes along, then the school, the work, and everything else go by the wayside, and before you know it, somebody's trying to shove some scheme or a drug package on them to, or a gun to make some fast money to take care of this child, because he's getting, like you said, that foolish pride. He's trying to keep his image up. And they go around and have a baby all dressed up in all this little designer from head to toe. And the baby's not even seeing a pediatrician like they're supposed to. I mean, some of the reality that I experienced. And the main thing is trying to get him to look at a godly example. We don't have it before, so we have to take time and think and say, this is what's before us. And this is what's missing that should be there. This is the example we had before us. It's not real.
Right.
Whether it's your father who was working and wasn't there and had another family somewhere else, whether it's a drug dealer that you're looking at or a gangbang on the corner and you think he's cool being a man and he got his girl in a little car and a little apartment. All the things that's portrayed even in TV and the movies and so forth, like it's about manhood. It's completely contradictory, we know, to what we believe. So I'm trying to get him
really
to see
means,
what
right.
the real, this is what it really looked like. Right. This was out here. This is the, this is what's before us, but that's not what we're supposed to be duplicating. That's not the model that we're supposed to be following. And that a godly man, a real man, would be responsible to his Lord and Savior, to himself, and respect. Even as we shared in the churches, we've been in there since 88, and it's at Northern Arundel County. That why is it that we're born and raised in the church, and our sons and daughters born and raised in the church, and your daughter is not safe or comfortable going to that prom with my son? Something's wrong with that. When we got away from rites of passages and tried to train these young men up that, listen, I want you to take my daughter to a prom. You all growing in the neighborhood together, going to church here together, singing the choir together, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And that your daughter should be safe. Here we're growing up together in the neighborhood. Why isn't it my daughter safe with your son going to the prom? Why if they even see one on the street? Because he hasn't had that modeled, that example.
Right. Well, see, that goes back to manhood. That goes back to one of our passions here, about men's ministry, teaching young men.
Yes.
Having taken time out to have men sit down, all men of all ages, and sit down and discuss these issues.
Right.
Because we know we have older men who've been through them, and we know we have younger men that's coming up on them.
Right.
And that's one of my passions about men's ministry. They have that time to set these godly examples, and also for the transparency.
Right.
Because, you know, there's time when, you know, speaking of young men, you have to be transparent with them that you wasn't always safe.
You got to be honest.
You ain't always been Bishop Larry.
Right.
Just, be honest.
You was just, brother, I mean,
I was just,
you was
out
just
there.
Larry. You was out there.
I was just out
there.
You
know, and Minister Boyer and myself, because I didn't get saved until I was like 36. Amen. So there's a whole lot of things out there that we try to open up and share with them, but then we need to, it needs to be, you know, that time where you set apart, where you have that one-on-one discipleship and you're building relationships. Because I think the only way that we're going to really address these things to try and move a generation to another direction is to address it head on.
Amen.
Head it on with the Word of God,
the
Kingdom of God, and the lifestyle that God has planned out for us.
Yeah, but when you was talking about that area transitioning, my thought came to when one of the greatest things Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, done things a child would think was foolish. But when I became a man, mm-hmm. I put away childish things.
Yes.
Now, in order to put childish things away, there has to be a model. And there's got to be this word called mentor.
Yes.
You know, and one of the things I was listening, even from the same conversation that I had on yesterday, and most of us around this table probably grew up in a time when our communities, when males got mentored, it was our group mentoring. Mm-hmm. We met washing the car. They was fixing the engine. We met, you know, and what they call areas in which there was, we look at the traditional meetings. There was social,
informal gatherings.
Right, and these informal gatherings taught us things. Because the gentleman again shared, while he was speaking to his son, disciplining his son, talking to his son's friends was there.
Right.
And now his son's friends comes back to him and say, I want to thank you for what you said to me. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that they was listening. But now they are successful, but he was sharing, but his own son do not see the reality mm-hmm. of his instruction, but his friends sees it, and they say, the reason why I'm thanking you because my father was not there to tell me those
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
And you was telling your son there, and I am now a better person today. So I believe it still exists that you and I must take on that responsibility of fathering.
Yeah.
You know, we can't say, well, that's not my child. Mm-hmm. It is. When we see any child that's going through something and God's grace put us in their path, it's a teaching moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would like to take my years that God would give me to continue those teaching moments because they're very valuable. Mm-hmm. Myself growing up without even knowing my father's name, never seen him a day in my life, you know, but yet there was an emptiness there because I could not identify who he is.
Right.
But then when I made that connection, every time I say the Lord's Prayer, our Father, I could say, my Father, which art in heaven. There's a connection there.
Yes.
When you can identify with someone, that there was people in my life, teachers, coaches, Sunday school teachers, preachers, there were people God put around me mm-hmm. that invested in me, that today I could just tell them thank you.
Yes.
Was I act like I was listening? No.
No.
But there's an impact that they left in my life, and I think that's what men, we must understand. Every time that we say something with authority, it leaves an impact.
Yes, it does. That's part of our legacy.
Because
that implants on it.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Now let's talk about the daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So the brothers out here who have daughters.
Mm.
You know, that thing to me, I think it's really, I'm not going to say harder. It's different because now this is a difference where a lot of brothers get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to relate to their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And their daughters make bad choices. You know, in another segment, we talked about a brother that his daughter will find a man just like him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he needs to fix himself.
Right.
Or to make her perception of what a man is.
But that's by nature. And we have to recognize
mm-hmm.
most daughters find men that portrays their fathers.
Mm.
And you know, whether it's good or bad.
So if my daughter come home with this crazy dude, it's my fault.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
I have to go ahead and say it. Yes.
Oh my.
Right. But they do. But on the other hand, speaking of daughters, we have to know the heart that they're looking for, because daughters want daddy sit on daddy's lap. They want a daddy's hug.
Mm-hmm.
They want daddy's attention. They said, daddy, how do I look? Do you like my ponytail?
Yes, sir.
We better start paying attention
right,
to those
right.
comments.
That's
yeah.
right.
You
well,
know, because
those things pass.
Right, sir.
Very quickly.
Yes,
right.
sir. Because right. when another man, a boy, who start looking at your daughter, say, I like that, that gets our daughter's attention. Mm-hmm. If daddy is giving to them at home, then
they won't be moved by those things.
But right. I like what my brother was saying earlier about the structure of our daughters and even our sons, because this training is not there now for of dating. Mm-hmm. Because my brother had a daughter and my son, mm-hmm. we should have built a strong right. enough relationship where that's just like your sister, man. You cannot go right. and have no type of right. sexual right. encounter with her. You need to talk about her mm-hmm. as a precious right. cargo.
That's right.
You know, because it is still there, but we don't talk about it enough. Mm-hmm. Because if I get a message, because as soon as you and I got a message that your daughter was pregnant, we felt like running out and finding that person mm-hmm. and doing some harm right. to them.
Like you know, it's all their fault.
Yes, you know, yes, but like I said, but we keep missing it instead of continuing to nurture.
Right.
We hit and miss because, again, one of the things I tell our congregation of people, we lose focus. Mm-hmm. We think the new means something different.
Yes.
It's just a new day, but you still need some basic principles right. to that's guide right. our children.
That's you're right. That's what I think it truly is.
Yes.
That we just need to, we need to stick with the principles of God
yes.
and just bring them and instill them
yes.
in our youth. And that's through that fathering issue.
Yes.
We should be the first teacher. We should be the disciplinarian, the all those things. But see, I think we need to all be able to do all those things, but we have to be in the Lord.
Right.
We have to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because we know that, you know, sometimes discipline is taken too far.
Right.
Things were done in harshly.
Right. Right.
Things were done in anger.
Right.
Right.
And those are also some of the legacies that we mm-hmm. right, not
right.
of fear.
Right.
And we that's another legacy we hand out.
Right.
Because we don't know how to control our own emotions.
That's it.
And we let things that go wrong mm-hmm. trying to correct. You know, we try to do the right thing the wrong way.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And that does something to our kids. And right. that can also be our fathering legacy.
And that's what the whole concept of that legacy is, to allow ourselves to grow
yes.
as we mature. Because we want to be men, we want to be women, we want to be the adult. But our love's the days when we dress our little girls up like little girls.
Right.
When we dress our boys up like boys. But now we're trying to make them mm-hmm. children, like mm-hmm. you said, right, and all right, these designs right. of men. Mm-hmm. And these girls, they're putting all kinds of everything, they're trying to make them a woman.
They're growing up, too fast.
Make them looking seductive.
Mm, right.
You know, let them have their little pity, right. Ponytail and all of those wonderful things. Don't put on the rouge right. and the all of that stuff.
The
and,
rouge,
whatever, however they say they try the makeup and
the
stuff.
The makeup, yeah.
But the time that we're living in, we have to make sure that we have those models there.
Yes, sir.
And I think fathers, as we position ourselves in these last days, it's going to be like the book of Malachi tells us. We're going to turn the hearts of our
Amen.
Children
Amen.
Back
Amen.
To the fathers, turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. Then we will have some success.
Amen. Well, right there, we're going to end this segment right on that note. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. And we're talking about fatherhood.